Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Patriot Education. I really am not planning on a gothic topic this evening. There's a thunderstorm going on in my neck of the woods, so you'll probably hear a little rumbling in the background. Plus, I have a cat on my lap off and on. One of mine doesn't like thunder, so seeks human companionship. My name is Terry Rowland. I'm your hostess for this evening. And as always, we are brought to you through the good offices of www.patriotfamilies.com. People who understand that all of us are this nation, and that is what has made it the great country it is. Our topic for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is common sense versus common core. Granted, common sense is a bit of an oxymoron, given the fact that good sense is less than common, particularly inside the Beltway. But it does exist. And unfortunately, it is not recognized as existing by those inside the Beltway who do not possess it. Our wonderful federal government, in its desire to remove the freedom of choice that could possibly get us in trouble, and make sure we have a perfectly safe and perfectly comfortable life, believes that we are incredibly stupid and incredibly inept and incapable of making any kind of decisions about the way our children should be educated. Heaven forbid that we should allow something so important as molding the minds of the collective fall to the jurisdiction of states and localities. Because, as everybody knows, the left is firmly convinced that absolutely no one outside a protest movement or a college campus is capable of rational thought. I was reading an article just a little while before I started my show that was posted on Facebook by Ken Cuccinelli, who was the Attorney General of Virginia up until the last election. Ken's a conservative and a Republican, and I am neither. I'm a libertarian. But the article that he posted the link to was quite telling. If you get a chance, title was 10 Reasons why I am no longer a leftist, I believe. But anyway, the author was a card-carrying ACLU protesting child of niece of a Communist Party bigwig, or nephew, since gender was never mentioned in the article, and spent their life up until not too long ago living in the world of the bitter left who cannot achieve utopia because all of us stupid conservatives and libertarians and Republicans thwart their vision of greatness at every turn. And in the article, the author mentioned something that I had noticed and have been baffled by for many years. The far left is never happy unless it's angry about something. Usually us, those of us who generally don't figure we can demand that other people adhere to our opinions, but do our best to treat one another with courtesy and kindness, make a living, and contribute to our communities. I was taught when I was a child and a young woman that hate and anger were fairly corrosive emotions, and that if one spent enough time indulging in them, sooner or later, one's ability to feel anything else would be eroded away. And reading this article kind of confirmed what I had been taught by my parents and my grandparents and the adults with whom I wandered through the halls of academia from kindergarten all the way through a master's degree. Most people, I mean real people, not the ones who infest the halls of Congress or the Oval Office or the various blogs that consider anyone outside of California and the California left as being an ignorant redneck who, you know, shoots small children and uses them as bait to catch other unsuspecting creatures, could possibly have any ideas that were worthwhile. And it has always amazed me that the left's general understanding of freedom of speech is they have the freedom to say anything they want, but we must not ever contradict or express an opposing opinion, because if we do, we are racist and fill-in-the-blank phobic and ignorant and stupid and uninformed. Mostly probably because we generally aren't screaming about something. I tend to avoid that, mainly because I'd like to keep my voice. And Linda, I hope you get yours back. I'll miss having you call in tonight. But I understand the Patriot Family Reunion syndrome of talk to a blue streak and then wind up with laryngitis by the time you get home. So I sympathize and empathize. Happened to me last year. But common sense, ladies and gentlemen, generally indicates that if something doesn't work well, it might be a good idea to abandon it and try something else. That's one of the reasons why common sense is so rare, if not non-existent, inside the Beltway. Once you establish a federal program or a federal agency or a federal helping hand, it remains exactly as it was in the beginning, in perpetuity, whether it works or not. Common sense does not exist in bureaucracies, ladies and gentlemen. As my last week's show, I stated, bureaucracies are not there to produce common sense. Bureaucracies are there to track paperwork, make copies of things, and double check that every piece of paper and copy conforms to a list of regulations. It is absolutely necessary that bureaucracies have a nice, neat list of rules and regulations. Otherwise, their reason for existence disappears. My friend Cal Living says that if it does not work well, it depends on who's being asked, and that's correct. And it also depends upon who's asking. Things that do not work well generally are things that produce a result opposite to their avowed goal, or fail to produce the avowed goal because the avowed goal is impossible to reach. Common Core is one of these. It intends, according to the publicity on all of the left websites and stuff coming out of the federal government, to create a set of standards that will ensure that all students in public schools over the entire nation will somehow or other, with this set of standards, be successful academically, graduate from high school, prepared to either attend college or enter the workforce at a well-paid level position. My friend Doc says, and things that don't work well, the Obama administration, and of course Rudd comes back with, and don't forget Congress, and yes, they were originally designed not necessarily to work well, but at least to tie up the ability of government to dictate every moment of our lives by requiring a consensus among a bunch of individuals, all of whom thought their idea was much more important than everybody else's. And in a sense, Congress generally does what it was designed to do. Unfortunately, when you have the Senate in the hands of a gentleman who I believe is suffering from Alzheimer's disease, and the White House in the hands of a gentleman who I'm sure wears red pajamas with a hammer and sickle on him to bed every night when he wears pajamas, it means that you have an imbalance of power, which was not the case when our founders created the Constitution. We also do not expect Congress or the President's administration or the Supreme Court to provide for us a job, food, clothing, someplace to live, and the brain with which to gain an academic education. I know there are people out there who do expect Congress and the administration and the Supreme Court to provide all those things for them, but unfortunately, those people exist in any society and have ever since the ancient days of the pyramids. My friend Rod says that the Constitution did not want us deep in debt, nor our currency being devalued, and we should be on the gold standard. You're quite correct. But again, remember that Congress, Rod, like any other bureaucratic institution or any other governmental institution in a representative republic, look at what they can do to garner the votes that will allow them to continue their political career. Initially, our founders did not expect congressmen and senators to serve for 20 years in office. Jefferson, as a matter of fact, remarked in one of his letters that he expected a, if you will, revolution about every 20 to 25 years, because he believed that it was healthy for people to wish to change the way they were governed if they felt that way was not working or had done something that was contravening the ability of the citizen to make free choices for his direction in life. Common sense doesn't dictate that there is a one-size-fits-all approach to anything. We know that for a fact if we've ever gone dress shopping or bought sweatshirts and sweatpants. One size does not fit all. And yet, Common Core purports to create a system in our public schools that will allow one size to fit all, because that one size will apparently have innumerable zippers, buttons, hooks and eyes, clasps, laces, gussets, and other accoutrements so that it can be adjusted to fit everyone from kindergarten through high school, no matter what the individual's disabilities, abilities, skills, talents, and problems are. If you can't make a one-size-fits-all sweatshirt and sweatpants, and all you're dealing with is basically the physical body, which comes in certain general configurations, how in the name of heaven can anybody expect to make a one-size-fits-all educational system? And yet, over and over and over again, the lack of common sense from the federal mouthpieces glaringly claims that, oh, yes, we can do that. All we have to do is make this regulation and everything will be fine. It kind of goes along with the idea that all we have to do to stop something bad is to make a law against it. We have had laws against murder ever since the British colonies, ladies and gentlemen. And as yet, we have not eliminated the desire for some people to murder other people. If we want common sense, ladies and gentlemen, we know that we cannot have a common core in the sense that government wants us to believe that we can. Education cannot be individually tailored to every single student in public school. It is fiscally impossible, for one thing. It is also physiologically, psychologically, and socially impossible. Unfortunately, the left believes that they can redesign human beings so that one size fits all will become a reality, and that multi-zippered, multi-fastenable, multi-expandable and contractible tracksuit is going to be our future. As I said earlier, common sense is actually a rare commodity. The federal government believes that it doesn't exist outside the corridors of government. Most of us who live under government realize that the common sense resides everywhere but the corridors of government. And that has always been the case, because government, any kind of government, is not about common sense, ladies and gentlemen. It's about power and the maintenance of power and the accumulation of power and the application of power. Our founding fathers understood, because they had suffered under government that had no qualms about all of those exercises of power, from murdering people, okay, under the guise of their traitorous rebels and spies, and we have the right to kill them because they just don't love the British Empire of which they're a part, to seizure of private property, to drumhead courts martials and hangings without trial, and every other kind of atrocity that a large government with its military arm of force can perpetrate. Our founders didn't even want a standing army for our colonies. They wanted citizen soldiers, which the left loves because they use that as a reason to tweak the Second Amendment to mean that if you're not in a militia, you can't have a gun. And then they also say that if you are in a militia, you're a domestic terrorist and you shouldn't have a gun anyway, so nobody should have guns except us. And of course, us means anybody who agrees with them, because obviously they are so kind and compassionate and rational and have so much common sense that they would never, ever actually use a gun for anything. So it's okay for them to have one. Like I said, common sense is a rare commodity on the left side of the spectrum. Generally, people who complain about the inappropriateness of applying the Second Amendment to today's world when we don't have a citizen's militia is lacking. If we had a citizen militia, as Switzerland does, and as we did have when we were colonials, we would have to have a weapon. It is mandatory by law for all adult male citizens to own a weapon in Switzerland. It was mandatory in the colonies for members of the militia to own a firearm. And it was the theft of those firearms that Lexington and Concord happened to prevent. because the colonists understood, since they lived in a more directly violent world than we do, the only people who don't want you to have guns are the people who don't want you to have freedom either. The common sense of the ordinary individual tells them that if they live in an area where people are going to harm them in order to take what they have, that self-protection might be a good idea. Government says, oh, no, it's not, because you'll shoot the wrong people. Just wait until we can send a nice policeman around to shoot the bad guy for you. The fact that the bad guy is already in your house and getting ready to blow your head off if you reach for a telephone seems to escape their reasoning powers. And it's not that, oh, well, all of our cities are so safe and so pristine and so in love with good and truth and right that, you know, there aren't any bad guys with guns. You know, the only guys with guns are those nasty domestic terrorist, conservative, redneck, Bible-thumping people. You know, nobody else has them. Nobody else wants them. A common sense versus common core all over again. And, of course, part of Common Core will be re-educating your children into the fact that the Constitution is actually a rather outdated and musty old document that really ought to be retired, and we ought to make something new that would make sure that we have it in writing that every single person in the country is entitled to anything he or she wants so long as government thinks it's good for them. And believe me, if our current left-leaning government bureaucracy had a chance to write a new constitution, it could be written in about a paragraph, and what I just said would be the burden of what it would dictate. You have whatever rights you can use without hurting yourself and that we think it's safe to give you until we decide you can't have them anymore. My friend Rod says the people who swore up and down that they're, you know, nice policemen will come and save them. They've probably never been to Chicago. He's right. They probably have. They probably haven't even been to Richmond. And up until a few years ago, our murder rate might not have been as high as San Antonio, Texas was in the 1970s, but it was pushing the limit. I remember New York before Rudy Giuliani. I do. The murder rate in states and cities and towns where citizens are allowed to be armed has dropped significantly over the past few years, ladies and gentlemen. Common sense versus common core. We see it over and over and over again. And not just in education, although that is my area of interest and area of expertise. I don't just focus on educational issues. I too watch the news. I read blogs. I listen to the people around me. I talk with people. I pay attention to what I hear from the talking heads, both in government and the media. And 90% of the time, what I hear from talking heads, particularly in the media and from government, makes less sense than what my cats tell me to indicate that they're hungry. My cats have common sense. They generally don't indulge in long speeches unless they want something. And until they get it, they continue to speak. And once they get it, they sit down, shut up, and enjoy it. But of course, the left uses similar tactics, except they never sit down and shut up long enough to enjoy anything. They can't. Because they cannot fuel the electoral power that they seek unless they demand that everyone remain angry, resentful, and bitter about whatever it is that they see is keeping them from the ultimate success they undoubtedly deserve. Common sense versus common core. Common sense tells us that no two human beings are exactly alike in their desires, their abilities, or even their fingerprints. Common core tells us, oh, yes, we are. We're all the same. There is no good or bad. There is no evil or heavenly action. None of that exists. There's only what's different. You know, it's women should have their say in anything. We should have complete freedom to do whatever we wish with our bodies, but we should never condemn Arab countries for mutilating young women so they will not find sexual intercourse enjoyable, or stoning people who happen to be gay, or beheading apostates like the poor young woman and her child who finally managed to get the heck out of where they were and wind up in Rome. Why is the left so angry about the Republican war on women, which of course doesn't exist, and blandly accepting and positively radiant about the preponderance of Sharia law and its barbaric methods of punishment? The left is Common Core, ladies and gentlemen. Their idea of unity is let's all get together and hate the same thing. I've always laughed at the left claiming that they were champions of women and that conservatives just think of women as baby factories and want to keep them barefoot and pregnant. But unfortunately, that's not what conservatives think of women. It's what the left thinks of women, because 99% of the legislation that they say is for women focuses solely on women's reproductive organs, as if we didn't have anything other than a vagina to contribute to society. If that offends somebody, good, because I intended it to. I am way more than my reproductive capabilities or lack thereof, ladies and gentlemen, and I defy anyone to pigeonhole me in that fashion. Not going to work, folks. I have always been perfectly capable of understanding my own reproduction capability, and I have always had enough common sense to understand that without judicious planning and or knowledge, using that reproductive capability would possibly create a situation I would be uncomfortable with. I knew that when I was 16. I have often wondered also why the only freedom they seem to care about for women is sexual freedom. And of course, sexual freedom on the left means sexual freedom carried to the nth degree with as many partners in as many ways and in as many places and as many times as the particular woman can possibly conceive of. And of course, government supplied contraceptives to go along with it. Common sense versus Common Core. Somehow or other, anybody who thinks of a woman as more than her reproductive organs on the right is vilified as a potential molester, rapist, sadist, enslaver of women, bully, wife beater, etc. Because obviously the only reason that anybody on the right has women around is to do all of those things to them. I have never heard from the right in the political arena the kind of hateful, vicious remarks that supporters of the left spewed on Sarah Palin when John McCain chose her as his running mate. For a group of people who supposedly champion women, is that the way you want to be championed? And it's true from my friend Cal Living that young men do see women only as reproductive capabilities. But young men have always seen women that way. That's how come the human race is still around. And young women generally are, if they're taught, perfectly capable of avoiding the consequences of young men's view of them. It isn't that hard. Really, it isn't. All you have to do, okay, is go somewhere else and stay away from them. I knew a couple several years ago who kept a boat in the same marina where my husband and I lived. And they would come up on weekends during the summer. And we'd visit back and forth, you know, have cocktails on the stern of their houseboat or, you know, watch the sun go down or chit-chat about this and that. And the wife had an absolutely incredibly jaundiced view of the entire masculine sex. She loved her husband. He was wonderful. But every other man in the world was a potential rapist. Barely held in check by restrictive laws that would cause them difficulty if they indulged their natural tendencies. I understand her attitude because apparently she was molested and went through a therapy group in which the effectiveness of the therapy relied on the therapist repeating many times that it's never your fault, it's always the evil man's fault, it's you didn't do anything wrong, men are just basically made that way, and so on and so forth. I understand the therapeutic necessity of helping a woman, or a man for that matter, who has been sexually abused, by trying to get them to understand that it is not their fault and that they did not do something to make it happen. That is standard procedure in therapeutic treatment for abuse of any kind. But unfortunately, apparently, this woman's cognitive embracing of this doctrine went far beyond the "an evil person did something evil to me that I did not deserve" to "all men are evil persons who would be glad to do something like this to every woman they could catch." And that I don't understand. But that's common sense versus common core. The way the left approaches the view it has of those of us who disagree with the tenets of socialism, communism, Marxism. We are all evil rapists who are just hunting for a nice, juicy, liberal woman to browbeat, damage, and abuse. Metaphorically speaking, of course. My friend Cal says, look at Islam, and that's correct. In Islam, fundamentalist Islam, any woman who is raped is guilty of somehow or other causing it to happen. And my friend Rod says men and women are not built that way. It's an individual choice to be that way, and he's exactly correct. But unfortunately, with all of the garbage that comes from the left about how we're all unique and we're all wonderful and we all can get together and have our kumbaya moment, they also don't want to admit that if we're all unique, that means some of us do bad things. And not all the kumbaya moments and I love yous and pats on the backs and cookies and milk are going to stop a Charles Manson or a Jeffrey Dahmer from being who they are. Common sense versus common core, ladies and gentlemen. Common sense generally is described as the product of life experience and the wisdom of one's elders that allows one to make judicious choices during one's life. That's the way I would describe it. That's maybe not an actual dictionary denotation, but it's close. Common core just means a single set of standards to which everyone must ascribe. Very useful in weights and measures, currency. Very useful in adherence to things like voting laws. Like, you're supposed to be a citizen before you do that. Very useful when it comes to rules and regulations for traffic. My friend Cal Living says, to look at bad people is to acknowledge that there's a right and wrong, a good and a bad, and God and evil, and the left don't want to see that. And that's exactly correct. There can be no good and bad in the left view, because like the one of the special education gurus in my school system said, there is no bad behavior. There is only communication we don't understand. Again, common sense versus common core. Common sense tells us, yes, there is bad behavior. A child who tortures and mutilates animals is not communicating anything except stop me before I do it to another child. And in that sense, the communication aspect holds water. But bad behavior? There is no bad behavior. There certainly is. Next time somebody says there is no bad behavior, this child just needs to be loved, I would like to suggest that they volunteer to be carved up and see if it requires, gets the child to enjoy it less. It's impossible for common sense and common core to meet on common ground, because common core exists on a plateau of futility and idiocy that is unreachable by common sense. And common sense is too lowly and ordinary and white and blue collar for common core to even recognize that it exists. My friend California Living says, how about you love that wild child in the city and see if they do it? That's just it. They don't. The people who were at the Occupy Wall Street protest spent their time urinating on police cars. If they were that interested in helping people who were poor, why weren't they at a homeless shelter or volunteering at the SPCA or volunteering at the local schools or helping with by being a mentor with big brothers or big sisters? It's because they were not interested in helping anybody but themselves. I'm here protesting because I don't want to have to pay my student loans, and neither does anybody else. Common sense versus common core. It's much easier, ladies and gentlemen, to incite a mob with anger than it is with common sense. Because mobs don't have common sense. Mobs have common core. That's why the left uses them so often. It's much easier, ladies and gentlemen, to stand on a street corner, wave a sign, and scream obscenities at people as they go to their businesses than it is to actually go and do volunteer work or attend city council meetings or PTO meetings or visit your city's jail, talk to police officers, go to a prison and offer to volunteer in a literacy program. If you're so convinced that prisons are full of poor, deprived minorities who have nowhere to go but down, why don't you go there and offer them a way up instead of standing outside waving signs and screaming about how we cannot put people to death even though they've tortured and murdered 12 children under the age of 6? Common sense versus common core. Our educational system, ladies and gentlemen, already is suffering under the imposition of the pre-common core mindset that prevails in the Federal Department of Education and the halls of government in Washington, D.C. The way that it interprets the Americans with Disabilities Act as it applies to education is just one symptom. Unfortunately, there are many people out there who, when they hear me say that, are going to assume I despise people with disabilities and I'm all for euthanizing them so they won't be a burden on society. Because if they say that among their liberal friends, if any liberals are actually listening, if they say that about me, it proves that they are kind-hearted and sweet, and I am an evil, nasty old witch who wants to murder people who are less than what I think is perfect. Because that is common core. An angry response, a vilification, a denigration of an opposing opinion is standard operating procedure in the common core mentality. All these people who say this are bad. All these people who disagree with us are bad. They only disagree with us because they're bad. Common sense versus common core. Yes, Cal, I do look like a wicked old witch. I did post a picture of me at 11 years old on Facebook today. Anyhow, and I didn't look like a witch then, but I was only an apprentice witch. As a matter of fact, just to make sure that my students in the in-school suspension room were properly terrified, in the fall I often wear a long black cape with a hood to school. It's amazing the kind of respect I get for a couple of weeks after that. Our understanding, ladies and gentlemen, of the world we live in is not based on what government tells us this world is. It's based on our own experiences living in it. Government is not a living thing. Government does not have a heart, a body, or a mind. Government does not exist in the everyday world. Government is an entity that feeds upon and is fed by money and power. Its function is to, according to the left, make it impossible for any bad thing to happen to anyone by removing all freedom of choice so that we cannot make a bad one. In other words, solitary confinement and 24-hour guards is the left's version of the utopian state. They won't agree with that, but what they want to create, in effect, is that. Without choice, it's true, we cannot make any mistakes. But without choice, we can't make any good things happen either. All we can do is exist. We do not live. My friend Linda says Plato's cave. That's exactly correct. Watching the shadow puppets. The left common core philosophy wants us to become angry at the status quo, meaning anybody who doesn't feel the way they do that property is evil and that everything should be redistributed so everybody has exactly the same thing, is inherently evil, rapacious, greedy, and exploitive. Anybody who owns a business, anybody who owns anything in the far left mindset is inherently following the path to evil. And evil does exist in the common core mentality. It's just slightly different from what you and I might consider evil to be. In the common core mentality, evil is anything that might offend somebody. Yep, that's it. That's about the only thing that's evil. So it's not evil for Muslims to kidnap little girls from school and sell them to people. Okay? Because obviously it doesn't offend the Muslims, and it doesn't matter if it offends us because, you know, we don't think like liberals, so we have no right to be offended. The common sense versus common core dichotomy has become more and more obvious over the last 7.5 years, ladies and gentlemen. The lead up to the 2008 presidential election, the re-election of our current president, the hold on power of the Senate, is illustrative of the fact that common sense hasn't been voting very often, and common core has. If you look at the timing, the common core philosophy of education was imposed on our educational system, or began, if you will, approximately 30 years ago. The people who put in the current occupant of the White House are the people whose education in the public sector had been permeated with the common core ideology. The idea that everybody deserves to graduate, everybody deserves an A, everybody deserves a free, appropriate public education, everybody deserves success, everybody deserves to have their self-esteem boosted, everybody deserves to be loved, everybody deserves to be praised, everybody deserves to win. And those people followed that same line in the way they voted. They grew up in a world of 30-second sound bites instead of a world of thinking and learning and failing and getting up and trying again. They expect everything and do very little on their own to attain it. They desire success, but have no interest in actually putting forth the effort that gives it to them. Even those who come from the working class or the white collar aspect or the liberal academic aspect, who actually do work for a living, who earn their salaries by doing something or other that somebody finds valuable and pays them for it, apparently believe that they don't deserve this and that somebody else should have it instead of them, because basically that's what they voted for. And yet I'm guessing that if I walked up to any one of them and said, okay, why don't you give half of what you earn every year to this homeless shelter so it can provide much better domicile and services to the people you profess to feel badly for? The answer I would get would be a resounding no. No, that's the government's job. Why? Whose money do you think the government uses? And whose money is going to do all these things you want if you spend a good bit of your salary hiring excellent tax lawyers that make sure that you get a refund of almost everything you put in that supposedly is going to help all these nice people? Margaret Thatcher's comment that socialism only works until it runs out of other people's money is one of the best illustrations of common sense versus common core that I can think of. Common sense versus common core in the matter of eliminating the idea that anything spiritual permeate the sacred halls of our public schools. Unless, of course, it is spiritual from a culture that is very different and often antithetical to ours. It's okay to discuss Islam and have discussions about the relative merits of Sharia law or the faiths of Buddhism and Hinduism as academic subjects, but God forbid we should mention anything that might even be construed to allude to Christianity or Judaism. Common sense versus common core. Religion is okay so long as it isn't common here, is pretty much it. The fact that most of the people in this country, I believe the latest polls said something like about 80% of the sample population stated that they believed in a supreme being. Even though that seems to be the common sense of the situation, everybody is bending over backwards to make sure that atheists aren't offended by two pieces of iron that resemble the Christian cross. I've often wondered, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe in God, why do you get so upset when you see things related to it? I mean, I don't believe in fairies either, but I certainly am not going to tell people they can't watch Thumbelina or Tinkerbell. And I'm certainly not going to ruin a small child's delight in dressing like a sprite from A Midsummer Night's Dream for Halloween. I was volunteering this week at a summer theater camp held at our middle school. And the purpose of the camp is the students do various activities and they rehearse and take parts in a play and design the stage sets and build them and so on. And at the end of the camp, they put on the production for parents and family. And they are supposed to have a good time, learn something about theater. And they do various activities other than directly related to the production when their particular part isn't needed for rehearsal. So I had groups of five students each in half-hour sessions from 9:30 to 11:30 on Tuesday this week. And the organizers and the teachers who had asked me to volunteer said, you can do whatever you'd like. Our production is going to be Robin Hood. And whatever you'd like to talk about with kids, that's great. So I decided I would talk about fairy tales and explain. And the kids ranged in age from 6 to 16 in each group. So we talked about that fairy tales are common to every culture, that they are teaching stories, that they're entertaining, they have elements in common. And I used the example of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And after I had made sure everybody knew the story, I said, well, just imagine if you were living in the time those stories were being told, and you were told to go out in the forest and pick up firewood, and would you be likely to walk into a stranger's house after hearing that story? And all the kids said, oh, no, and except one little boy. And he said, well, yeah, but talking bears aren't real. And I said, well, that's true, but people at the time these stories were first told believed they were. So if you lived then, would you have wanted to go out in the forest and walk into somebody else's house? Oh, no, Mrs. Rowland, I sure wouldn't. What one believes, ladies and gentlemen, is one's own individual prerogative. It is not licensed to force one's belief on another, nor is it licensed to ridicule the belief of that other. To favor one belief system over another by law is prohibited in the First Amendment. The First Amendment states that no religion shall be established for the new nation. In other words, unlike many of the colonies, you did not have to attend a particular church or belong to a particular denomination in order to hold office, vote, own property, or do any of the other things that citizens had the right to do. The First Amendment's openness toward religious belief was based on the fact that one of our colonies, at least, Rhode Island, was founded by a gentleman named Roger Williams, who got kicked out of Massachusetts for being a Quaker. And one of our colonies was founded by Quakers, Pennsylvania. And that both Pennsylvania and Rhode Island produced some fairly decent people. So, if you were going to say, well, you only can vote and own property and be elected to office if you belong to the Church of England, you'd have to get rid of everybody in Pennsylvania and Rhode Island, pretty much, and then you wouldn't have the products of Pennsylvania and Rhode Island to contribute to the country. So it was practical as well as philosophical. But our common sense versus common core dichotomy, common sense tells us that walking to any church or synagogue or temple or mosque or any other meeting house, gathering of persons who believe in a particular religious discipline, and ask them to draw a picture of God, you're going to get as many different pictures as there are people. Because one spiritual progress must and should be internal and unique. When one has found a creed or a system of beliefs that provides comfort, support, ethics, values, and a way for one to feel that his or her life has meaning, it's natural to wish to share that with others. But common sense versus common core tells us that, oh no, common core says you can't do that because you might offend somebody who doesn't share your belief system. Well, about the only way that someone can be legitimately offended is if they are arrested and beheaded because they don't share your belief system. That's pretty doggone offensive. And as far as I know, most Christians don't do that anymore. I can't go so far as to say that Muslims don't. Some of them do. Common sense versus common core. Common core says that religion is a bad thing unless it's happening in a country other than here. Common sense says that religion is a good thing for the person who believes in it. And if that person believes in it, that's their business and not mine. Common sense versus common core. Our children are being told subliminally under the common core mentality that there is no good or bad. There is only that which is different from what one knows. For someone who is looking at the broad canvas of world history, that statement might apply as a guideline in their factual evaluation of historical events. It does not apply when you are teaching children how to live in a society with other people in it. I am not in favor of theocracy, ladies and gentlemen, any more than I am of any other form of dictatorial government. My spiritual beliefs and perceptions are my own, and I am quite comfortable with them and quite comfortable with discussing them with someone who may not share them. I have no desire to indicate to anyone that my spiritual beliefs or experiences or perceptions are somehow better or more lasting or closer to what is objectively true than theirs are. I may have a fairly large-sized ego, but it's not quite that big. Yet Common Core says that we cannot talk about things like that because we will offend someone merely by mentioning the word God in the public arena. And as I've said before, I still can't quite figure out why anybody who doesn't believe in God gets offended if somebody else talks about him, or her, or it, or them, whatever you believe. It just doesn't make any sense. It somehow, I feel rather sorry for those who claim atheism because they seem to think that merely mentioning the word God is all of a sudden going to reinstate the Spanish Inquisition or, you know, something like that. And I don't quite see the quote-unquote logic, but again, it's common sense versus common core. I don't have any desire, ladies and gentlemen, to tell other people how they should make choices in their lives unless the choices they are making are going to harm me, those I love, or my property. As Jefferson said, if it doesn't break my arm or pick my pocket, you do whatever blows your dress up. I'm paraphrasing. But when you want to break my arm or you want to pick my pocket to pay for your choice, then I say no. I don't expect other people to make my choices for me or to finance the choices I make. I earn a salary. I have lived long enough to be eligible for Social Security. What I do with those funds is my choice, except, of course, for the eternal taxes, without which no government could do the things that governments are actually supposed to do, like fund the military to protect my nation, provide roads and postal service, and the regulation of weights and measures so that when I buy a pound of sugar, I know that it actually weighs a pound and not 14 ounces. But I guess I'm a little peculiar. Well, I know I'm a little peculiar, but that's all right. I too am a child of God, ladies and gentlemen, so you can blame him, her, it, or them for how I turned out. I started with what God gave me, and I've used it, I hope, to my benefit and the benefit of other people as much as is humanly possible. And again, common sense versus common core. I admit to being human. Yep, guess what? I'm human. Surprise, surprise. I am not a clone. I am not a recorded voice. I am not a visitor from an alien planet, although I had my sisters convinced that I was, and they were expecting another ship to come for me any day when I was about 16. They were certain that something was going to land in the backyard and I'd wave bye-bye and beam me up, Scotty. But they were very young and very gullible, and I was quite wicked and an older sister, so, you know, it happened. My understanding of what common sense is based on my life experience the knowledge I've acquired over my 67 plus years of living in this world, both academic and experiential, and the fact that I have a fairly rational brain. One of my father's finest compliments to me was that I was fairly logical for a woman, and I took it as such because that's the way he meant it. I understand that if I want a sandwich, calling up Washington and demanding that they come down and make me one is probably not going to feed me today. I'm probably going to have to get the bread and the meat and the mustard and the mayonnaise and the lettuce and the tomato from somewhere, put it together, put it on a plate or a paper towel if I'm feeling slovenly, lift it and put it in my mouth and bite and chew it in order to get my sustenance. And in order to get those things that put together that sandwich that is going to give me my sustenance, I have to somehow or other do something that will earn me the money to go to the store and buy the ingredients for that sandwich that is going to feed me. Yes, yo, I really did do that. Sorry, folks. Coming in our chat room, my friend Yolanda says she looked at the photograph of me at 11 and is amazed that such a sweet child could have done such a thing to her sister. So looks are deceiving. Anyhow, because I'm peculiar and my common sense tells me that if I want something, I'm going to have to put forth at least a little bit of effort to, if nothing else, get up out of a chair, walk to the kitchen and get it out of the refrigerator. I extrapolate that, because I am fairly logical for a woman, that if I want something like a new house or a new car, I'm going to have to earn some money somehow in order to pay for those things, because nobody is going to walk up to me on the street and say, here are the keys to your new Maserati. Have fun. Not that I want a Maserati, because 9 times out of 10, extremely expensive sports cars spend more time in the shop than they do on the road, but as an illustration, it works. Common sense versus common core. I do not believe, ladies and gentlemen, that I am entitled to a McMansion and a Maserati. Even if I wanted one, which I don't, of either of those things, what would I do with a mansion? I'm a widow with 5 cats. Give each one their own bedroom and hire a staff of servants to feed and groom them each day? No, I take care of my cats. They're my responsibility. I do not believe that I am entitled to anything except the freedom to make my own choices in the direction my life will go. And that I am entitled to because I was born a human being and a child of God. I am not entitled to be universally forgiven if I do something deliberately to harm another person for my own satisfaction. No, I am not entitled to do that because, oh, gee, I was pushed into insanity. No, I wasn't. I am not entitled to get community service as an alternative to jail because I grew up rich and just didn't understand that it wasn't nice to drive drunk and run over children. No. I'm not entitled to an A when I don't go to class and don't turn in any of the work. Even though I actually did get one in high school by not doing a particular piece of work, the only reason I got it was because the teacher didn't notice I hadn't handed in a term paper and he'd already sent the grades in for my senior year and it would have been too difficult to pull them back out. I should have gotten a C in senior English. Now, I'm just venal enough to say, oh, that's okay, I'll take the A. But I knew darn good and well I didn't earn the A for the reason he gave it to me. I had earned an A all of the previous quarters, but I did not earn that one because I failed to do something that was required of me. I do not believe that anyone with common sense instead of common core, would ever actually believe that somehow or other, someone else is responsible for whatever it is they're uncomfortable with in their life, unless they have been incarcerated and a guard has beaten the you-know-what out of them, or raped, or robbed, or shot, or knifed, or damaged physically or financially by someone who is evil or who chooses to do evil actions. And then it isn't I'm entitled to something. It's merely I was really, truly victimized by someone who did bad things. Every single person in this nation has at one time or another made a mistake or done something that he or she regrets. It's part of being a human, particularly if you're an adult. And let me qualify my previous statement to say that every single adult person in this country. We all make mistakes. We all make poor choices. We all do things that later we are ashamed to look back on and say, yes, I did that. Or that we regret bitterly and wish we could go back and change, but we can't. But common sense says that when we make those mistakes and we do those things, the point is to learn from them so we do not do them again. It's not to be told, oh, it's okay, you couldn't help it, we'll just forget all about it. Because then, instead of a mistake, it becomes a lifestyle. Common sense versus common core. If we tell our children that their inability to do something is not their fault and that they should blame it on someone else, the teacher, the kid who sits next to him in class, the coach, the Boy Scout leader, the government, the state, the principal, whoever. It's got to be their fault, ladies and gentlemen, if they are going to become the lifelong learners that a participating republic needs. If you do not understand the consequences of what you do, why on earth would we let you into a voting booth? If you are unable to recognize responsibility, how can we give you the greatest responsibility that a citizen in this nation has? To choose those who will make the laws that affect all of us? I tell my students every time that when they complain about having to take civics in eighth grade, I tell them you had better learn civics because you're going to be voting in about another 5 years and you're going to be choosing people who make laws that affect me. And that matters to me. And I want you to understand responsibility you are going to have and how this government is supposed to work. Because I live here too, and I'm not going to drop dead just to make you happy before you're old enough to vote. I might, out of sheer frustration, but I'm certainly not going to choose to. My friend Linda says that she and our friend Bill gave speeches on the current government and Agenda 21 that were well received at our gathering of the Patriot family in Indiana this year. And she handed out lots of pocket constitutions. Good girl. I'm proud of you. Keep doing it. If more people actually learned how to read well enough to read the Constitution, we would not be in the mess we're in now. because everything our current president has done has been so bloody unconstitutional, it's frightening. But because Common Core, instead of common sense, guides our public education, our kids are graduating from high school with the reading skills of a fourth grader. They can barely read an employment application, let alone the Constitution. And heaven forbid, they should actually have to attempt to read the Federalist Papers. They wouldn't be able to get past the first two words on any one of them. Common sense versus Common Core. In a common sense universe, our public school system would concentrate on teaching our children the skills they need to be able to function in life. Reading, mathematics, basic science, history, government. If our kids were actually given the equivalent of my personal eighth grade education, they would be more knowledgeable and more capable than the average college freshman today. And I am not exaggerating, ladies and gentlemen. Not at all. But common sense versus Common Core is an ongoing battle. And we have to stand up for common sense. And yes, we're going to be called nasty names, and we're going to be told that we are whatever phobic and whatever ist the left wants to insult us with, anything to make it sound as if we are as full of hate as they are. Because it's the only way that they can incite the mob to do what they need. Excuse me, to maintain power. If you look at Occupy Wall Street, ladies and gentlemen, and then you imagine the audience that Jesus had for the Sermon on the Mount, and compare the actions of both of those groups of people, you will definitely see the difference between common sense and common core. Common core needs professional victims, ladies and gentlemen, because professional victims are absolutely certain that anyone who isn't them, whoever they are, has stood in the way of their success, deliberately keeping them down, making it difficult for them to get to their goals or have the things they want. And the left uses this to create anger, because anger, like fear, kills the ability to think rationally. Anyone who has ever studied martial arts will tell you that any sensei worth the title teaches that you do not fight when you are angry, because you cannot think. Those who espouse the common core mentality of the left have to remain angry, because anger does not require thought. Anger defeats thought. And if they were not angry, then they would begin to think. And all of a sudden, common sense would rear its ugly head and common core would crumble away. If we can on our side of the political aisle. Remember the difference between common sense and common core. And understand that anger is an easy fix that actually doesn't fix anything. We will prevail. The epitome of common sense and lack of anger has been an ongoing spiritual path for over 2,000 years. It's difficult not to be angry when you see injustice, and for me, when I see willful stupidity and ignorance, I do get angry. But there's a difference between the anger of the mob and the righteous anger of someone like Jesus in the courtyard of the temple with the moneylenders and the vendors. Anger can be a powerful motivator, ladies and gentlemen, but it must be under conscious control. It is fuel that can flare into something that could destroy what we love. So I'm trusting all of you out there listening to me and my dear friends in the chat room to remember that common sense always trumps common core. And because all of you out there have common sense, common core is the straw man that will blow away in the wind of common sense. I've managed to keep my power, ladies and gentlemen, and the thunder has stopped and the rain has slacked off, which is a good thing. So with a little luck, I won't have thunderstorms again next week here on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll have another Patriot Education episode to enjoy or dislike, if you wish, at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time next Thursday. We'll be back again for Patriot Education. And meanwhile, between now and then, I urge all of you to exercise your common sense and learn as much as you can about what the common core is attempting to do. Listen, read, talk with people, espouse your beliefs, but remember that others' beliefs need to be respected, even if they're disagreed with. Doing what is right instead of what is easy is a tough proposition, ladies and gentlemen. But if I am to be known for anything once I'm no longer in this particular physical state, I'd like to believe and hope that those I care about will remember me as having tried to do what is right instead of what was easy. I can't guarantee that I always will, but I can solemnly promise that I will always try. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight for Patriot Education. Keep your eyes open and your ears open and your minds open to the things that are going on around you, because every single one of you are lifelong learners, and that's what makes this country great and what will keep it great into the future. We are, ladies and gentlemen, the luckiest people in the history of mankind to live in the time and the place that we do. If we can use that luck to try to help other people achieve the results of common sense instead of the false, sugar-coated poison of common core, then we've done a good job. And I believe we can. I'll see you next week, folks, here on Blog Talk Radio for Patriot Education. Visit our website, www.patriotfamilies, that's all one word and families ends with YS.com. Get to know us and our bloggers and our members. Join us or just talk with us. That's what we're here for. I'll say goodnight, and I'll see you next Thursday. And as always, all my love to my greatest fan. Blessed be, everybody. Have a wonderful evening.
So you wouldn't have to deal with this.
Yeah, but I shouldn't have to deal with this because you should have said no.
Yes, but I didn't. And now I can't. I know. I'll send Alexis and Meredith before she's so just hire a concierge doctor.
No, Chantal, I am a big girl, okay? I can be in the same place as your ex-wife.
So to say?
Yeah, sure. I'll just be subjected to her parading around half the weekend.
Okay, I can't wait, can I?
Oh, right, because this is all about you.
Well, you wait. And bye. Okay, you know what? You're right. You are absolutely right. All we have to do is get through the next few days with my crazy ex-wife. What do you say?
No.
No?
No, not no. Noah. Kesslett. Corey Frank is really...
No, Kesslett. Former officer in the Army's Military Intelligence Corps.
Former military intelligence.
No, you can escape it when we start.
90 seconds.
It appears just after she's killed.
It's a bachelor we told
him. Whatever he's up to, the old trace of my find is a loan out corporation registered his name. There's been a lot of recent activity. Several large wire transfers.